Welcome everybody to another episode of Chafua Meza Podcast. I am your host, Lemmy G, and today we have a special guest. Matter of fact, this is the biggest guest I've had on my podcast so far. So, before any further ado, I want to give him this time to introduce himself, because this is big for me. This is big for me. Please, sir, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Lemmy. My name is David Kiplagat Kerich. I'm Kenya's ambassador to the United States of America. I reported here in September last year, and I am soon going to finish 1 year as an ambassador here. It's amazing to be here. I am a practicing lawyer. I studied law in the University of Nairobi, and I was admitted to the bar 32 years ago. I have been practicing law. I was a courtroom lawyer for many years. My first posting after my admission was to the Office of the Attorney General as a state prosecutor, and I was in charge of Nyanza province. By then it was Kisii, Nyanza, and Nyanza, Kisumu, Nyanza. And that was quite big. I used to travel all the way to Homa Bay, Siaya, all the way to Kisii. That was quite expensive, but it was good for my experience. And thereafter, I went to government, parastatal, NSSF. I was employed as a legal officer there. And then I joined one of the biggest law firms in Nairobi as a practicing associate lawyer. And then just before I was appointed here, I was a speaker of Baringo County Assembly, where I controlled the house for 5 years. And here I am doing diplomacy. And so far, so good. We are representing and we're protecting, projecting the image of Kenya in the United States of America. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. You know, that's just the introduction. You're supposed to say your name and then ask that question, but you already answered it already.
Yes.
Oh my God, this is big. This is big. So let's get to it. First of all, of course, you come from Kenya, like you mentioned, which is a big, big deal.
Yes.
What made you actually to become an ambassador? What made you take that role?
Thank you very much. You know, this position, ambassadorial position, is a prerogative of the president, the head of state. So it is a presidential appointment. It is not something you apply, you say you want to become an ambassador. It is the president himself who knows after president is sworn into office, he's supposed to have representatives in the name of ambassadors all over the world. And he knows who fits where. So in the wisdom of the president, he found it fit to name me as his ambassador to the United States. And I want to believe that it's because of my track record, it's because of what I've done, my training as a lawyer, my exposure in both government and private, my people's person. And of course, I fit and I met the expectations of the president, and that's why I was appointed as the ambassador here. Yes.
Congratulations. That is a big, big, big one. It's a big deal. Matter of fact, so since you mentioned that, let me even make it a lot lighter for you. What's a typical day for Mr. Ambassador?
My day is just like any other. Mm-hmm. Like any other, mm-hmm. you wake up early in the morning by 5 o'clock. Of course, then every morning I go to do fitness. I go to the gym. I go to the gym for 1 hour. Thereafter, take my breakfast, get ready, and I'm in the office by 9 o'clock.
Right in your office?
Right in the office. 9 o'clock, I start doing my routine work.
Yes. You
know, I have to look at correspondences because there are many mails that are coming from Nairobi and from many other missions. So I clear my desk. If there are meetings, I go for meetings from 10 to 11. It depends. It's a busy. There is no dull day here. There's always a meeting here. Either it's State Department or other embassies have called us for meetings, or diaspora events. Sometimes there are meetings with the diaspora here for business, and all the way, the afternoon, and my day ends officially at 5, just like anybody else. But of course, I don't go straight at 5. There will be meetings. Normally, they are dinners. We do quite a lot of dinners because then when an ambassador of a certain nation has their national day, or they are visiting heads of state, or they are visiting dignitaries, they call us ambassadors to go in. We have AU meetings, we have East Africa community meetings, we have meetings for OAS. I am a member of Organization of American States. So normally then I end my day by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
You in bed?
I end my day at 9 o'clock, then I go home.
Then
I go home to be in bed by 11.
By 11?
11 o'clock.
You know, typically I'll assume by 9 o'clock you're probably asleep, because you always have a busy day for you.
Of course, the other thing is this: for this time, during summer, 8 o'clock, there's still
light. Yes. The daylight is still.
Yes.
Okay, I get you. I mean, that's why you look pretty young, you know what I mean?
That's a compliment. Thank you. Yes. There's hope for you.
Of course. Yes. There's a lot of hope for me.
Yes.
Now, this is another question I have for you. I want to understand the values that Kenya guide. I want to understand what values or experience from Kenya guide how you represent the country abroad.
The values that we have from Kenya?
Yes. Experience?
Yes. First of all, I'll start with the values.
Okay.
My value is that, I'm a national. And I believe in, projecting and protecting the image of my country. I must project Kenya anywhere I go.
Yes,
and
sir.
The Kenyan is known for
various reasons.
The Kenyan is a resilient person. You can survive anywhere. A Kenyan is disciplined. We do what we want. We do what is supposed to be done at the right time. So those are the values that I bring from Kenya for this job. And the experience is, as I said, I'm a lawyer, I'm a people's person. I have handled so many. There is no strange case that comes to me, so long as it's about a human being. There's nothing new. It's just corners and there. But at the end of the day, the human being the same.
Yes.
And when I came here, the white person is just like any other person. It's just the skin.
Yeah.
But because of my experience, because my clients were also whites, so when I came here, there was really nothing strange.
Just, this is coming from me. I'm curious, right? Of course, coming from your background, the first experience with the white folks, maybe they're looking at you because you have an accent. Of course, you're coming from Africa. How did they treat you? How did they take you?
I didn't see any difference, because one, lucky for me, my position as ambassador, once I introduced myself as ambassador, they immediately change and they say, "Oh, Your Excellency, how are you, sir?" Then it changes. So I've never seen people looking down upon me. The only time I saw, and this is on a light touch, is I was in a store trying to do the weekend. Of course, I am dressed casually.
Yes.
In my jeans, my t-shirt, and my cape. And I was checking something in a store, and one white man tapped me and told me, "Do you work here?"
Yeah.
Then I looked at him. I fought the temptation of telling him, "What makes you think I work here?" But of course, I laughed it over and I said,
"Yes.
No, I'm a customer like you."
Yes.
He said, "Oh, sorry." Then after some time, I introduced myself and I said, "I'm the ambassador." He said, "Oh," he almost went to his knees. He said, "Oh, sorry, I didn't know." So that's on a light touch. That's my experience here. Yeah.
And this is just me being curious. I'm trying to imagine being the first time your parents or your family members seeing you sitting over here as a Kenyan ambassador. How was that for you?
Oh, there are some of the things that you don't take it for granted.
Yes.
I came here, of course, at the first few weeks, it was different. After some time, I got used to. But not my friends, not my family. They can't believe when they look at me, especially on TV or on social media, because we report once we do our activities in the office. We have a social media, and we report that I was there. I was addressing a huge gathering. There was one gathering of almost 100% whites, almost 1,000 people, and I was addressing them. and my family members just called me and told me, is that you talking to white people? I want to answer your question that, you know, sometimes it's difficult to.
Yes.
But as they say, for now,
yeah,
this is where I am.
This is where you are.
And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to God for giving me this opportunity.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a highly believer when you mention God, because even right now I'm sitting right because of God. I mean, when I made my trip to come over here, I didn't even expect to see you, or at least to have a seat with you. But yes, look where I'm at right now. Yeah. That's a big one. But this is another one for you. How would you describe the current state of Kenya and U.S. relations?
The relationship between Kenya and U.S. is good.
Yeah.
Take it from me, it is good. It has been good for the last 60 years. We celebrated 60 years of U.S.-Kenya relations last December. We established this office in 1964, immediately after independence. And it has been good all through. We have good relationship. Our president has good relationships with this government. Many times, our president has had phone conversations with the U.S. Secretary of State, Mr. Marco Rubio. And every time there's an issue and the president wants to talk to Marco Rubio, he easily gets access to him.
Okay.
Our PCS came here and was given audience again by Marco Rubio and senior government officials. And when I want an appointment with the government of this country, I easily get that appointment. So I want to say we are good. The other indication to show that we are having good relationship is the issue of tariffs. You are aware that many countries were embossed, tariffs were given 30%, 50%.
Yes,
but Kenya was among the least, they were given 10%.
Great.
And on 1st August, some more countries were given more tariffs. Those were 10, 15 were added over, so 25, 35. But Kenya is still at 10.
10%, okay.
So what kind of better relationship than that?
Yeah, that's great.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for you guys.
Yes.
This is all comes to you.
Yes.
But what's the biggest opportunities between, actually, what are the biggest opportunities for partnership between the two countries as far as trading, education, technology? What would you say?
Yeah, there are good opportunities for partnership. On trade, we are negotiating one trade agreement between Kenya and the U.S. It's a bilateral agreement. It's called an FTA. And we have started signing the first documentation. Our Minister of Investment and Trade is coming next week together with the PS to come and see whether they can firm up that agreement. So we're hoping to have an FTA between our two countries. So because of that, we bring in goods from Kenya to this country under AGOA, which unfortunately is expiring by end of September. Through AGOA, we have been bringing cotton materials from Kenya, jeans, the T-shirts from EPZ Nairobi, and through AGOA. But if it is not renewed in end of September, we will fall on FTA, the one that we are hoping to sign. So we believe that there will be more opportunities for us to bring in those goods here.
Okay, I like that. How important is Kenya diaspora to Kenya's economy?
Our diaspora is quite important. We treat our Kenyan diaspora as one of the integral parts of our diplomats here. And the Kenya government treats diaspora very importantly and very seriously, and that is why, one, the Kenya government was able to establish our whole diaspora department. There's a department of diaspora in charge of to see the issues of diaspora matters. Diaspora are business people. The diaspora are the ones who carry our name. They are the ones who represent us. They are actually our true ambassadors. And we go around, we really encourage our diaspora. When we give them consular services, we are able to mention to them. So they tell us their issues, and we see there are one or two issues that we are trying to iron out to ensure that the diaspora do their trading here. We have coffee, we have tea, we have avocado, we have cut flowers. The Kenyan businessmen who are here, our diaspora, should be able to import those products to this country.
To this country.
Because especially coffee, you know coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, every American, I mean, coffee is the number one.
Yes, it's a big,
yes,
in America, yes.
In America, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so those are the opportunities for our people. Also in IT, AI space, we have serious diaspora who are here, especially those who came to school here. We have serious players in on AI. So, yes, I can say that's what they do.
Okay. Okay. All right. Excuse me. What is the embassy doing to strengthen the engagement between Kenya living in the U.S., between the Kenyans living in the U.S.?
We do our level best to ensure that the relationship between Kenyans, first of all, between them, amongst Kenyans alone who are spread, you know, U.S. has 50 states, and a Kenya diaspora in Seattle, Washington State, and one in Washington, D.C., may not know each other because this is worlds apart. So we try to bring them together by having national days. When we have a national day like this year, we'll be having, and we are, you're welcome, we'll be we'll be having Jamhuri Day, where we call our, you know, the members to just come and celebrate our country, know each other, exchange ideas, and encourage one another so that we're able to live as a community. We also encourage good relationship between our diaspora and the host people of the host country, because these are their neighbors. They must also work in good neighborhoods. And we tell them, you must belong to a community.
Yes.
Belong to a church.
Yes.
Belong to a social group, so that, you know, this country, if you're not very careful, if you live alone, you can be a loner.
Yeah. Yeah.
And stress levels are not very good here.
Yes, that's very true.
Yes.
That's very true. It's pretty interesting mentioning that, because in my neighborhood where I live, I see a lot of lonely people out there, especially in your age.
Yes.
If maybe you don't have a wife, or maybe your wife passed on and you didn't have any kids, it's a huge challenge. I've seen a lot of course, you know, one thing about Kenyans, we tend to move here.
Yes.
And sometimes we bring our parents who are older. When they come here and the kids have to go to work, they end up being lonely the whole time in the houses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also another issue. But maybe you can fix that for us.
Oh yeah, we together.
Yes.
We will.
Oh, like that, together.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Are there plans to make services like passport renewals and ID replacement easier for Kenyans in the diaspora?
It is already easier. We just want to strengthen it. For your information, those are part, some of the consular services we give our diaspora: passports, ID, birth certificates, emergency travel certificates for anybody who wants to emergently go to Kenya. And for your information, do you know that it takes less than 2 weeks to get a passport here?
Yes, I've seen it.
You've seen it?
Yes.
So you are our voice. Yeah. Please go out there and tell the people that what we do here. We are so efficient. And the passports are printed not here, they are printed in Nairobi. So you come to the consular office, or when we visit you, because we do mobile consular service, when we visit your town, that day when you take your pictures, we upload everything to the system and send it to Nairobi for printing. Nairobi, it used to be people are queuing,
yes,
for the machine to print your passport.
Yeah.
You know what happens now? It is the machine that is waiting for the applicant.
It's the opposite.
Yes.
Okay.
We have a very efficient system. And the same thing to the ID.
Okay.
So our country is doing well. The government is doing well for its citizens. And we are there for them. Yeah.
I like that. I mean, I already got my passport renewed, so I'm good on that department.
Good.
But I like the kind of work you guys are doing. But how does the Kenyan, how does the embassy promote Kenyan culture here?
We try. There is only one debate. When you talk about Kenyan culture,
yeah,
you start with the dress. It is something that we have not really found our way around that, having a national dress. But Kenyans love Kenya. A Kenyan will always have either bracelet. And I see you have one.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes.
All the time.
That is what we...
100%.
We have quite... Everywhere we go, we have to dish out. We have a sack full of those bracelets, so we give Kenyans. We tell people to be proud of our country.
Yeah.
we participate in cultural affairs. When people have birthdays, we encourage people to go together, sing, you know, home songs,
yeah,
and feel like part of Kenya. So we are bringing Kenya here.
Yes.
And I'm really encouraged that Kenyans are very patriotic. Patriotism is key to the Kenyans here.
I like that. Yeah. So one thing you've noticed about Kenyans in Kenya, they always want to come to America to further their studies. What advice would you give the students who are trying to come to America and further their education?
Yeah, the advice I'll give to the students is, one, you are going to a foreign country.
Yes.
And the systems may not be the same as the ones you're used to. Their cultures may be different. So there is, obviously, the risk of culture shock, which they must be prepared.
Very true.
And how would you imagine, and this is what something that I have told people, they should maybe do some kind of preparedness, you know, some kind of seminar.
Research, okay.
You know, to do before they come here.
Okay.
They should be told how this country is. The laws here, very strict. Don't jump the red light. In Kenya, sometimes you look left, center, even if the lights are red and there's no vehicle ahead of you.
You just go, drive. Yeah.
So if you bring that here, you will have it rough. So that is my advice. Please study. Get to know the laws of this country first. So that, and the beauty about this country is once you follow the law, you are in good books.
Yes.
But if you want to go wrong, my friend, you will not know what to lead you.
Yeah. Speaking of law and speaking of our bad habits that comes from Kenya, I mean, you've seen a lot of us Kenyans here struggle with alcoholism. Yeah. And it has gotten a lot of Kenyans in trouble as far as their jobs. They lose their jobs, they lose their families. Some of them are homeless.
Yes.
What would you say about that?
Oh, yeah. Those are some social problems. And it may not be unique to this country only. Even in Kenya, we have those kind of cases. And I think it's a generational problem that cuts across. And it happens across all countries. So I don't want to really beat ourselves to say that Kenyans are suffering much more than everybody else. It's a generational it's a problem that is coming in this generation. But however, we must address it. And the first people to address it, one is the parents, to talk to the children. And two, the community should also talk to the children. And very importantly, the peers. You as a young man, you should be able to reach out and talk to your peers. So it's peer-to-peer.
Very true.
To talk to each other, encourage. And you realize that the reasons why young people you go to drink and drugs is because, one, sometimes the stress levels can be too much. They lack mentorship. They lack people to tell them and shape them on the way to go. You know, you go to university and some universities here, if you go to these high-end universities, if you are not very, very keen on study, you will get people who you think are brighter than you, and you can easily give up.
Yes.
And giving up, you go to drink. You go to take solace. But if somebody was to tell you, even me, I passed there, you pass, to encourage you. So that's what I want to say. Let's encourage each other.
I like that. And still on this same topic, especially when it comes to social life, right?
Yes.
You've seen what happens when it comes to relationships as well. Some of our own, they tend to have domestic violence, those domestic issues, and one of them, between the two, it could be the wife, it could be the girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, they end up calling the police.
Yes.
And once the police gets involved,
yes,
and you know you're a foreigner, the game changes. Everything just goes down. So it's a downhill from there.
Mm.
Sometimes some of these people don't even have paperwork. Once they go to jail, automatically ICE steps in. And from there, it's either you home, or if you get lucky, maybe a good lawyer will save you. What do you feel about that?
I said before, some of this thing could come from one, culture shock. Culture shock in terms of you are in Kenya, you think and you've been socialized to think that there are some roles for the man and some roles for the woman. When you come here to the US, my friend, there is no role before the woman, there is no role for the man. That is a shock. So if you tell your wife, I am not washing the dishes, Because in Kenya, you can sit until the wife finishes what she's doing to come and wash the dishes and then bring food to the table.
Yes.
But when you try it here, the first time, second time, she will tell you why you're not doing it.
Yeah.
And if you are short-tempered, you can lay your hand on her. Yeah. And the next thing, she calls the police. And the police come in, they will not hear the second thing. They will just say, you are the one. First of all, you're already going.
Yeah.
So that has been a problem. And I'm telling you, some of the cases that we are going through now, Kenyans in jail, is because of domestic violence.
Yes.
And some are worse. Some are even so unfortunate. You've heard of cases where people kill their spouses.
Yes.
Yes. And you know, my heart bleeds when I hear of a case of a Kenyan in prison. There have been one or two occasions where my officers have been called to give consular services in prison to go and see a Kenyan.
Wow.
But now you see a Kenyan in prison, has been jailed for 45 years for murdering a Kenyan, his Kenyan wife.
Yeah, that is sad.
So the problem is an embassy is, do you support this guy? Or do you support the family of the spouse who was killed? Because all of them are Kenyans.
Yeah.
All of them are Kenyans.
Yes.
This guy who is in prison wants us to assist him to get out of prison.
Yes.
The family of the wife, who are also Kenyan, want justice.
Yes. What do you do?
And all of them are Kenyans. We must serve them.
Yes.
So those are the challenges that we go through.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's tough.
Yes.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... speaking of Kenya, what do you see Kenya and U.S. relationship in the next 5 years?
I am positive and I'm optimist. And although they say sometimes hope is not a strategy, but we have strategies to ensure that our relationship becomes better. With the current Trump administration, it is true. This administration is transactional. It asks, what do you bring to the table?
Yes.
So every country must go bilaterally. It is no longer going as a group. You go as a country. So for us, Kenya, we are being asked, what do you bring to the table? So we bring a business deal to the table. And once we bring a business deal to the table, there's no reason why our relationship should not grow. In the next 5 years, I am seeing us doubling our products here. The trade... the ratio should go up. It should go to our advantage. Tourism. We brought in 300,000 tourists last year.
Whoa.
And by June, we were at 400,000.
Nice.
And we are pushing to ensure that we go to 500,000 by end of this year.
Okay.
By these kind of talks.
Okay.
We talk to tourists here. And the tourists here, the American tourist is very good. He's a good spender. and we like American tourists.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Thank you.
This is actually a big one. So, speaking of Kenya, what role do you think Kenya can play in Africa in bringing the relationship of Africa and U.S.?
Kenya has been playing its role and it continues to play the role. Kenya, first of all, our geographical position, we are a gateway. We have, our coast is quite good in terms of being a gateway to all the goods from Central Africa, from Congo, DR, Rwanda, Uganda. Any goods for export, be it the minerals, be it whatever it is, go through Mombasa. And when you go through Mombasa, that is, we are playing our role to ensure that we connect Africa to the world. We're also big on climate. Climate action. You know, we have UNEP in Nairobi.
That's true.
So because of UNEP, and there is a push, we are pushing to ensure that we have our headquarters for UNEP. UNEP, of course, is in Africa, in Nairobi. But we want Nairobi to be the hub, the business hub for Africa. So we want the West, when they think of Africa, the next thing is Nairobi.
Nairobi.
So that's what we are trying to do. So that's our role as Kenya, to ensure that we bring Africa to the table. Because we are not just championing for Kenya, we're also championing for Africa. We want African goods, we want fair trade policies. You have heard our president talking about fair trade practices. Yes. We want to be put on the same pedestal like other countries because we have what it takes. We have first-class facilities in terms of tourism, in terms of human capital. Our human workforce is the best in the world. A Kenyan who comes here can easily get a job than any other African because our English is number one.
Yes.
And also, let me shock you, in Kenya, we have some data centers who are manned by Kenyans. They work in Nairobi for foreign companies.
Ah.
Yes. You are here, you want somebody to help you, you call that company, they tell you, call this number, and the person behind that phone is a Nairobi, somebody from Kenya.
Yeah.
Yes, and they will talk to you nicely, and they see Kenyans are very good. They will first of all ask you, how are you doing? Some tell us, don't say how you're doing. So that is a good thing about Kenya.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
And the point when you just mentioned, like you want, whenever an American mentions Africa, they know Nairobi. I think we're doing a good job on that part because right now, if you notice, a lot of tourists coming from America when they go to Africa, the first place on our visit is Kenya. So we're on top. We're doing really
Thank
good.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're doing really well right now. Mm-hmm. So this is the part where I call Mchuzi time.
And Mchuzi?
Mchuzi, yes.
Ah, okay.
Mchuzi time.
Mchuzi. What is the table?
And this is, I like what you just mentioned because it's Chafua Meza, so I usually have a table.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's why I still want you to come to my studio because there's usually a table in the middle.
Okay.
But Mchuzi time, since you've been in America for a while, say for a year, right?
A year now.
Yeah. What's the most food you're missing so far from Kenya?
The food I'm missing in Kenya?
Yeah.
I mean, I miss authentic nyama choma. Authentic nyama choma.
Yeah.
I miss the traditional vegetables. Managu. Chinsaga.
Yeah.
That's what I miss here.
Yeah.
And I miss sour milk called mursik.
Mursik.
Yes.
I don't think I'm familiar with that.
That one. Is, because you are American. It's sour milk. It's the milk, the kind of milk that Kipchoge, Keino, all the top athletes. You know the secret why they?
Yes.
They drink that milk.
That's they drink.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, man. I'm right with you on that one. Nyama choma all day.
Yes.
We can eat that all day. Nyama choma and ugali.
And ugali,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, we can eat that all day. Yeah. Since you've been here for like a year, any habits, American habits you've picked up so far?
Yeah, there's one or two. What I've picked from here, good ones, is timing. Here, when you are told the meeting starts at 7, you better be there 5 minutes before 7. When someone tells you, let's meet at whatever time, I like about that, the good timekeepers. In Kenya, someone tells you meet at 1, you come at 1:30, you're still okay. You see? So that's number one thing I have picked here, and it's a good one. And nowadays, when I go back to Kenya, I'll tell somebody 1 o'clock, 5 minutes after 1, I go away. Because that's what they do here.
The one thing about here is because they respect time. In Kenya, we don't respect time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. They usually say there's African time and then there's Kenyan time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that means Kenyans are pretty late in whatever they do,
yes.
Which is embarrassing. We need to do better. Kenyans, come on, my guy. We got to do better, man. That's really embarrassing.
But I think it's just a culture. I don't think they mean bad. It's a culture. But they need to come here the way I've seen. And then going back home, I will be right on time.
That's very true. I like that. So... If I was to ask you to sell Kenya to someone, what would you say about Kenya for someone to be like, you know what, I love Kenya, or at least I would love to go visit Kenya?
First of all, and this is a practical thing I do. In every function I speak to Americans or non-Kenyans, I tell them, if you have not gone to Kenya, you have not gone home. Because if you read history, the oldest human species was discovered in Kenya.
In Kenya.
Electrical.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I say, you are going home. So that's my first number one selling point. Go to Kenya because you're going home. I sell the wildlife. I sell the big migration. I sell the safaris. I sell the good weather. January to January, there's no winter. Some Americans say, there's no winter? I sell the white beaches of Mombasa. And I sell our good, charming people of Kenya. And I tell them, and it's true, many foreigners, when they finish their duty in Kenya, they remain in Nairobi. They don't come back.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, 3 U.S. ambassadors are in Nairobi.
As we speak.
Yes. They have retired in Kenya because Kenya is a good country. So that's what I sell.
Okay.
Yes.
I like that. That is, oof. I love Kenya because I'm Kenyan. East, west, home is best.
Home is best. Yeah,
that's what I go for. One more thing I'd like to say, because I've noticed a lot of Americans right here in America, they're moving to Africa lately. A lot of big numbers. Some of them actually going to Kenya. And I have a few so far who are reaching out. They want to invest in Kenya. Mm. And when it comes to investment in Kenya, of course, obviously you've heard of these stories where people sell fake lands. So you pay money, you're hoping to purchase a land. Whoever is selling it to you takes your money and end up disappearing. So to me, I feel embarrassed sometimes to tell Americans or this kind of people, you know what, this is how you're going to do things. Because the same person I'm telling them to go to, I don't even trust him because I feel like, whoa, the game is the same.
You know,
take advantage and steal from these people.
Yeah.
So what's your take on that?
Yes, that has been a complaint for many, especially diaspora who have lived in the U.S. for so long. And there have had stories of people who have been conned. And it is true. There have been stories where you send money to your relative, you send money to your brother to build your house. There's this story that this man sent money to his brother, and every time his brother has been sending photos. Now we are at this level. Yeah. Now we are roofing. Yeah. Now we are putting the doors. The guy is very nice. He just looks at the pictures and sends money.
Yeah, that's true.
When he went home, he realized that was a neighbor's house.
It was nothing.
His land is bare, and money has gone.
Yes.
So, but I tell Kenyans not to be discouraged because of those kind of stories. Now the systems are good in Kenya. Take your time. We have professionals. We have good lawyers. We have good land agents. We have good surveyors. The systems are good. The legal regime is good. The court system is good. If somebody does something wrong against you, you can easily go to court and get compensation. But I tell people, don't wait until you go to court. Don't wait to have that problem. First and foremost, establish who you're dealing with. Do due diligence. Study the company who wants to deal with you. When a company comes and says, we are advertising, we want to sell land, you know, take your time, ask somebody else. And I'm telling people, and I also want to tell you, as an ambassador, I told you I'm a lawyer, I practiced conveyancing, and I know commercial law. If you are in doubt before you put in your money, if you fail to get somebody to ask, please, the embassy is open, call me, ask me, this X company who has come in to do a pitch, they want to sell land, please tell me, how are they? Is this company legitimate? Is this something I can go? I will give you the answer, and if I don't have the answer, I will ask the right authorities in Kenya. So the advice is, take your time, do your studies, do due diligence, get a lawyer to do a search for the property, to establish who is the owner, whether there are any encumbrances, whether there are any liabilities, whether there are any history, which is not good, about that property. And once everything is good, put in your money. And they are safe investments, they are government, treasury bills, they are bonds. You can never go wrong with those ones. So because of those small issues, people should not be discouraged. They should be able to invest. Okay. And you invest in Kenya. Yes.
I like that what you just said. If you have questions, if you have anything, we should call you directly. Yes. And it's good because I have your number, because I'm planning to invest back home. Please. So you will be hearing from me. I will be calling you directly.
I will give you all the answers.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. But I want to thank you so much for your time. This has been great. I'm telling you, like when I walk in, I'm telling you I was nervous. I didn't know because I was like...
Now you're okay.
Yeah, now...
You've realized that the ambassador is just like you.
It's just like me.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? I was shaking a little bit when I came in. Usually that never happens because I'm usually in my comfort zone. I'm usually in my studio. Everybody mm-hmm. comes to me. Okay. Now I came to you. You know, I'm a visitor now in your own office. But thank you so much for your time. You know, another thing that I will definitely like to request from you is I would love for you guys to sponsor my platform. You know, you're a big deal.
What is the name of the platform?
It's Chafua Meza.
Chafua Meza.
Yes.
Okay. And in the social media?
Or it's the same name everywhere.
It doesn't have your name?
No, my name personally. It's the platform name. I mean the podcast name.
Oh, the podcast name.
Yeah.
Chafua Meza.
Chafua Meza, yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice.
So
it's original. I've never had another one like that.
That's the goal. You have to be unique also. Mm-hmm. So Chafua Meza, I would love for you guys to sponsor my platform so we can go further. There's so much we can do together.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's so much service. Yeah. Very little I can do by myself. But with you, with all your team, all your force, your resources, we can go further. So I would love for you guys to sponsor my platform. And with that being said, any last thing you want to share with the people?
Thank you very much. I want to, first of all, thank you. Chafua Meza, this is one of the initiatives by our diaspora. And I am quite happy and I get encouraged when I see young people like you, young Kenyans in a foreign country doing the best of what they can do. This is testament of the Kenyan, a resilient person, innovative, and somebody who goes out there to look for a living. And I think you are an example to many of your generation.
Yes, sir.
So I want to thank you and I want to encourage you. Please partner with us. Be our voice, use your media platform to talk good about our country. There's so much that many people may not know, like the issue of getting a passport within two weeks.
Yeah.
Like the investment opportunities. Be our voice. Let the good come out. The good book, the Bible says, if you have a lamp, don't put it under the table. Put it on the table.
Yes.
So I want you to partner with us to put Kenyan lamp on the table for the world to see.
Yes.
And for our Kenyans who are here to see that here we have a good country. And that country is only for us to nurture, to grow, to prosper. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Of course, I'm looking forward to partner with you guys. Oh my God, that's a dream coming true. Thank you guys for watching. If anything, he has mentioned a lot of stuff within the last 1 hour, maybe something like that. Please watch it over, listen to it, because this again is the ambassador. I can't even believe I'm sitting right next to you, man. This is a dream coming true, man. But I thank you guys for watching. This is big. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
Chafua Meza.
Chafua Meza. And my name is Lemmy G, AKA Chafua Meza, that's the podcast. And thank you so much. Until the next one, we out. Chafua Meza, Chafua Meza. Tuko Nairobi, tuna Chafua Meza. Chafua Meza, Chafua Meza. Tuko in the city, Chafua Meza. Don Kings in the building. Don Kings in the building. Chafua Meza, Chafua Meza. Tuko Nairobi, tuna Chafua Meza. Chafua Meza, Chafua Meza. To go in the city, Chafua Meza. Don Kings in the building. Don Kings in the building. Straight from the flight to the club, we go. Hold on, I'm lying.